make an announcement before we go to prayer. Seeing as how that, I guess, there's so many people in the nation that are getting vaccinated, CDC has put out more guidelines and said that if you're fully vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask anymore. And and if you haven't been vaccinated and you're here, then you can, you know, do whatever you want at your own risk. But y'all can take your masks off, and we won't be wearing a mask no more. And amen, sister. And that ought to make things better. We're trying to get back to some more form of normal, and they're trying to get back to some form of normal in the nation here. And of course, I guess businesses can put out their own guidelines. So some of them still have signs up saying that when you go in, you got to wear a mask and so on, or whatever, I guess. But so I just would like to get back to some form of normal, you know. And it's been quite an ordeal we've been through. And like I said before, when I talked about vaccinations, it doesn't mean you can't get it, but it does mean you won't die from it. And that's a pretty good plus, if you ask me. So anyway, I just wanted to put that out. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer before we read the scriptures this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we ask, Lord, that you be with us in this service. Guide us through your word, Lord. Help us, dear God, we may, Father, follow your leadership, Father, as the Holy Ghost leads us through the word, God, to be able to be a help to the people this morning. We pray and ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to read in the scriptures from the book of Matthew, chapter 12, verse 42. And what I would like to speak on today is a greater than Solomon is here. Greater than Solomon is here. It says in verse 42 of the 12th chapter of Matthew, "The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here." You may be seated. Solomon was a man who asked God for wisdom, and God gave him a gift of wisdom. And he was considered to be one of the wisest men in the world. And God used Solomon, and through that wisdom, and guided Israel as a kingdom by the wisdom of Solomon. And this queen, who was not of Israel, she was a heathen, had heard of the workings of the God of Israel through this king by the name of Solomon. And I suppose that somehow she heard about this by people who had come from there and got enthused about what they had saw and heard from Solomon. And so passerbyers come by her way and word carried, until she became so intrigued by it that she wanted to find out for herself. And so she didn't have an air-conditioned Cadillac to ride in. You know, she was on camelback. and going across the desert. And I know a little bit about the desert, that I was there 6 months, and there just isn't watering holes everywhere. And if you don't know the desert, you won't know where they are, where there is places you can get water. Now, when I was there in the Army, of course, we could pack enough low water along with us to make it from one place to another where we were going. But you still had to have a source to get your initial water from. And you had to know where that was. But they had camels. They didn't have trucks and tanks and all tankers like I had when I was there. You know, they could carry gallons upon gallons of water. But they only had what vessels they could pack on a camel's back. So they would have to stop along the way. So it would be treacherous. It would not be an easy journey. It was not just going to be like a walk in the park for her to go and to visit and see what she had heard about Solomon. It was going to be difficult. She was going to have to overcome difficulties. There wasn't going to be people along the way to help her out. But as the prophet said, there actually was going to be children of Ishmael that were in the desert that would actually rob and kill this little band of people. She didn't have an army with her. She had some men, camels, and a little caravan. But she was determined to find out. And Brother Branham says, if you're determined to find out, then you won't look at the circumstances, because God will keep you through it. God will protect you if you're determined to find out the truth. Which makes me think of what Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Anything that goes on in life, you need to know the truth about it. Brother Branham preached this message a couple of times. Greater than Solomon is here. And we know that through his ministry, that God did things in his ministry that hadn't been done since Jesus Christ walked on the earth. And the angel told him there would come a time that he would be able to tell the very thoughts of the heart. And we know that happened. And we know that Brother Branham pointed to that and said, there's a greater than Solomon here. But he wasn't talking about himself. It wasn't Solomon's wisdom. It was the gift of God in Solomon. It wasn't Solomon, it was God. Brother Branham said in the message of faith as a substance, he said, God isn't bound to my prayer or to the pastor's prayer, to anybody in this building or anywhere else in the world that believes that he will answer prayer. That's who he answers it for. So the prophet came, friends, and he fulfilled the part of the word that God sent him to fulfill. Now it's up to us. He brought the word and delivered it to the bride, that the bride could then fulfill the part of the word that she's supposed to fulfill. So it's, you don't need a prophet to lay hands on you. You don't need a pastor to lay hands on you. You can lay hands on one another. In the Bible, in Mark, it didn't get specific about who. It just said, they that believe. shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So if you believe, you can lay hands on your child or whoever it is, and by God's, God is bound to his word. You have to excuse my voice. I've had a little trouble with, I don't know, the allergies, all the pollen flying around and everything. And so I may lose my voice while I'm up here. But I'm going to push it out as good as I can. And he says, a person might be standing here with every so gifted of God, yet they could never do nothing for you until you first believe that they were able to do it. So no matter how much faith that I have, when I pray for you, unless you have faith, God's not going to do anything for you. It's why was the supernatural that happened in Brother Branham's ministry? Was to raise the faith of the people so they could believe. Raise their faith so they could receive not only their healing, but receive the message that was for their day. And that's what God does today. He still is raising our faith, but he's raising our faith by pointing us to his word. And that's exactly what Brother Branham did. And you know, the angel said that when he was performing miracles, said there come a time that people won't believe you unless you perform a miracle if you keep doing that. God didn't want you to have a miracle to believe. He wanted you to believe because he said it. Message of expectations. He says, remember, anytime you feel you want to have someone to pray for you, I want you, your pastor is just as much right to pray for you as anyone else. We all believe this, but I'm going to tell you something, friends. This kind of goes against the grain of people that have lifted Brother Branham up to a place of being God in this age. They've lifted him up so high that they no longer believe that God even works through the fivefold ministry. But Brother Branham came and delivered a message. And that message, friends, you know, it's why I say we don't got to preach long. We're not the prophet to the age. None of us pastors or associates or evangelists. You know, we're not bringing a message to the age. What we're doing is pulling from the message that's already been brought. He was going to pray for people. This was in 1963, and be not afraid. And he had a lot of people with prayer cards. And he said, there's more people than I can get to. I can't get to all of you. And so he said, I want you pastors that I've got here to go and get out amongst the people in this line and lay your hands on them. And he said, get in and amongst them. And he says, and I'm going to pray. And he said, we know that God, then he's here. It's not, it's him. It's not me. So the greater than Solomon that was there that he was speaking about wasn't Brother Branham. It was Jesus Christ. And he said, he's here. And it wasn't because Brother Branham was there. It was because that God was there. And he says, as the pastors lay their hands on you and touch you, he said, you're healed. Go home and claim it. He said, I can't get to all of you. And he says, your pastor might not see visions. that may become only one in this generation, but he's got the same authority of God to lay hands on you. It's just exactly the same as if you were standing here on the platform. Listen to this. He said, if you happen to get sick, and your pastor believes in praying for the sick, have him come pray for you. It's just the same as you standing here on a platform or anywhere. And if your pastor's not there, get some of the deacons. And if the deacons are not there, get your neighbor that's a good Christian woman to come and pray with you. Man, oh man. That'd go against the grain of some of these people in this message that want to put the woman under their foot. It didn't say, now you men that believe, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It's to the believer. Any mother's got just as much rights to ask God to fulfill his word as anybody else. The Bible says, confess one your faults one to another. Remember, I read this scripture before and I said it didn't mean confess somebody else's faults. We got too much of that going on. It's, and you know, the Bible said, don't try to pull the mote out of your brother's eye when there's a beam in yours. Too many people hoeing out somebody else's garden instead of letting weeds grow up in theirs. Need to says, confess your faults one to another. It doesn't say confess them in secret. Only confess them to your wife or your husband. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you might be healed. For the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. When the Bible uses this term here, a righteous man, it's because it was referring to Elijah and how Elijah went and said, it'll not rain for 3 years. It'll not rain till I call for it. And it says that Elijah was a man that was had like passion such as we do. In other words, he was just a man, a human like us. So when it's bringing this out here, it's not saying that only righteous men. It means righteous people. Brother Branham was preaching a message, Jehovah of Miracles, in San Jose, California. And he was preaching this on a Thursday. And he said, this is a great day because the Lord has made this day. And no doubt many of you were in your service this morning has enjoyed the wonderful fellowship of your pastor's message. And that's good. I'm so glad you did. And just remember, back him up in prayer. He's the shepherd of the flock, and the shepherd is the feeder. What does that mean? It means the way God's going to feed the church is through the pastor. How? By the messages he gives the pastor on his heart. He said, so you back him up in prayer and support him in every way, and God will keep giving out those messages with him. Sometimes I have a hard way to go getting notes together. Other times it flows and comes real easy. I guess it just depends on how much you're praying for me. So I'll think the next time that it's kind of hard, I'll think, man, ain't nobody praying for me? The Queen of the South, he says this in the ministry explained, the Queen of the South, which is the Queen of Sheba, will rise in this generation and condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And yet I say unto you that a greater than Solomon is here. Notice he was condemning them because they hadn't recognized the anointed spirit that was on him of God. They didn't recognize the anointed spirit on him was God. They thought he was just some other man. Talking about Jesus Christ. They tried to class him as a madman. Word has reached my ears. People's trying to class me as a madman. Somebody's crazy. Well, I feel like I'm in good company. Because they tried to say Jesus was crazy. They tried to class him as a devil-possessed man doing miracles by the devil. Those people, great Ecclesiastes, who sit over here with your fancy buttons and your robe called doctor and rabbi. The people in Nineveh who didn't even know which was right and left hand repented when they saw the sign of an anointed prophet Jonas come out of the belly of a whale after 3 days and give a message. An ignorant, illiterate people will rise up in the day of judgment and condemn you, Ecclesiastes. Now, it was all right for a lot of people that say they believe this message to believe a greater than Solomon was here when Brother Branham was here. But now that Brother Branham's gone, there's still a greater than Solomon here. Because the greater than Solomon was God himself. It was Jesus Christ in this age, not a man. See, they don't believe that. There's some people that don't believe that. That's why they worship the prophet. Yes, I said that. And the people, there's going to be people that rise up in judgment and condemn them for that. Listen to this. The people of Nineveh were pagan people, heathen. And they believed that a great fish of the sea was actually their god. And so when this whale came up and spit Jonah out, now he come walking out of this whale, they didn't know what to think. But they heard his voice. And friends, they didn't erect a temple to Jonah. They didn't start worshiping Jonah. As a matter of fact, they stopped worshiping the fish. Because it wasn't the fish that talked to them. It was God talking to them through a man. So he said, that's why Brother Branham called him an ignorant generation. Ignorant people said they'll rise up in the judgment and condemn the people of these religious organizations of today. Queen of the South, she said, I've heard that the Lord God of Israel is with you, and I've come to see. Now I'm convinced above all shadow of doubt that your God is the real God. And God has anointed you to lead his people, and I even see more than I've heard about. And Jesus said she'll rise up with these generations and condemn them and say, and he said, I say unto you, the greater than Solomon is here. And I say to this audience tonight that the Queen of Sheba will rise up in judgment with the people of Chicago. because you've listened to criticism and condemned this people. Because you've listened to criticism. Look, friends, if God is working through a man, God, we know, worked through Brother Branham. And when they criticized, they didn't come saying they were criticizing God. They came saying they were criticizing Brother Branham. But God took it personal. Said, you're not criticizing a man, you're criticizing the work of the Holy Ghost in a man. And said, there'll come a time you may say one word against the Son of Man and it'll be forgiven you. But there'll come a time to speak one word against the Holy Ghost and it'll never be forgiven you in this world or the world to come. So it isn't speaking a word against Jerry Browning. It's speaking a word against the Holy Spirit working through the man. Although they may think they're speaking against me. They may think they're criticizing me. And he said, because you've listened to criticism. So this wasn't the people doing the criticizing. This was the people listening to the criticism. You know what the Bible says about that? The Bible says, against an elder receive not an accusation, but by two or three witnesses. And the prophet of God said, the pastor is the elder of the church, the highest order of the church. And he said, there's no higher order in the Bible for the church than the elder, which is the pastor. He's the highest order of the Bible. Don't receive any accusation against your elder unless it be by two or three witnesses. Now listen to this. No matter what anybody says about an elder, don't you believe it until you have two or three witnesses, and let them witnesses be tried first. So before you go running off at the mouth about what you heard, let's try the witness. Let's try who said it. And Brother Branham didn't stop there. He went on to say, them witnesses must have the Holy Ghost. Ooh. These three Holy Ghost witnesses must be tried and proved. Consider the source. Amen. Jesus said about the Queen of the South, because she did that, was reconciled to God by seeing the gift of God work perfectly, become a believer in God. He said, you bunch of educated church going hypocrites, she'll rise up in the day of judgment and condemn you because she come from the uttermost parts of the world at that day to see the wisdom of Solomon. Yet I say unto you that a greater than Solomon is here. And I say to you tonight, brothers and sisters, that in the day of judgment, the Queen of Sheba will condemn the United States of America. And she'll condemn the so-called Christian world. Because God give you something miraculous. And the so-called churchgoer will stand out on the side because of some personal praise of men or dignity of man-made, self-made things they have. And they'll criticize the Holy Spirit and the workings of the Holy Ghost. Now, why would somebody come to you and try to criticize the ministry of this church? Is to try to break down your confidence. And why would they want to do that? Friends, I'm going to tell you something about human nature. It always serves itself. It ain't going to do you no favors. People that are under this kind of influence, it's always self-serving. They got a self-purpose behind it. And the reason they would criticize the ministry of this church, especially if they've been here before, is so they can say, see, that's why it wouldn't work with me. That's why I couldn't serve God. Because something is wrong with that pastor. Had a man come to me one time tell me, you think the reason I can't get right with God is because I'm like Esau? Nope. You ain't going to use Esau as an excuse.
Amen.
See, because he said Esau tried to repent and God wouldn't let him. God wouldn't accept it. He couldn't find any place to repent. So in other words, that would be his excuse. Why he can't live the life. Why he has to still do cocaine. Why he still has to smoke pot and all these other things. But the reason is because he loves that stuff. Same individual came here one time when another brother was preaching and came up for prayer high on cocaine. That was because he told me he was. People always want to justify themselves. They want to make it look at, well, see, I'm not quite so bad. They'll criticize the Holy Spirit and the workings of the Holy Ghost and call it fanaticism. And here's the one thing I can say about it. And I say it as a servant of God. I say this, it's nothing in the world but unadulterated jealousy. Why did Saul throw a javelin at David? Jealousy. God wasn't working in Saul no more, but he could see God working in David. And Saul couldn't heave a javelin at God. That's who he was really upset with. But David was a man, so he could throw a javelin at him. Jealousy. When Peter, James, and John came out of the upper room, they had received power, as Jesus had told them, from on high. And with this power that they received, they went out to a man by the gate called Beautiful and said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. What did they have? They had the power of God. Such as I have, give I thee. Take up your bed and walk. And the man got up. That same power has been given to the church today. The prophet said, we don't need more power in the church. What we need is more faith to work the power that we've got. Divine healing. Brother Branham said, it's not something like a totem pole or a hocus pocus. It's divine truth written in the Word of God, confirmed by the Holy Spirit. And it's not limited to any denomination, people, creed, or color. It's to whosoever will. Just the same as salvation is. Divine healing is to whosoever will. Divine healing wasn't limited just to Brother Branham. God still heals today. Now, Brother Branham brings out about Job and about the things that, you know, happened to Job. And, you know, Job's accusers came and said, well, it's because you got some secret sin, something you've done wrong. So Job searched himself to see, was there something that he had done wrong? And I'll tell you, if we're sick, then we need to, first thing we do need to look at is there somewhere we're not pleasing to God? And when we come back with the answer, no, there's nowhere where I'm failing. Oh yeah, we make mistakes, we're human. But you know what I'm talking about. There's no place that's pleasing God. Then we know that we should have the confidence that when we pray, he'll heal us. He'll answer our prayer. We have that confidence toward God. Because he is what's the word I'm looking for? Come to me. Advocate. He's our advocate with the Father. And if any man has sinned, we got an advocate with the Father. Then we can believe on the prayer. Believe to be healed. It isn't that you've done something wrong just because you're sick. It's because we're in a body that's subject to sickness. I can't wait to shake out of this body. Oh my. I'll tell you what. When I get in that glorified body, I'm going to want to rub it in the devil's face. Hallelujah. I'm going to sit down at the wedding supper and not worry about, will this raise my sugar? Hallelujah. I'm not going to have to worry about, is this going to raise my cholesterol? Hallelujah. Ain't gonna have to worry about triglycerides. It's gonna be wonderful. But right now we're in bodies that's subject to all that stuff. We need divine healing now. We won't need it after the rapture. We need it now. Wouldn't it be miserable to be a person who didn't believe in divine healing? And I imagine there are people that don't. I mean, there was when Brother Branham was here, people didn't believe in it. That's what that whole thing was down there about that man, I forget his name, but him and he wanted to challenge Brother Branham. Brother Bosworth said, I'll take the challenge. He didn't believe in divine healing. He says, it was not Solomon, but God's gift in Solomon. But it was a gift of God. And as they begin to notice it, there's something about the working of the Holy Spirit that always stirs up a move. It brings up the emotional part of people out. Wait a minute, I thought we didn't believe in emotions. There ain't nothing wrong with getting emotional. Listen to what Brother Branham says. Last evening, when I seen those people coming from the balconies and around, weeping and standing around the altar, accepting Christ as their Savior, I tell you, There's something emotional when the Holy Spirit sweeps over an audience of people and you see their faces light up with some kind of a radiance that this world could never produce, nothing like it. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, whatever we feel here is just a little bitty portion of what we're going to feel after we're raptured. My goodness, can you imagine being in the presence of God and not having any hindering spirits around you? Not having any hindering atmospheres around you? Not having any critics around you? No wet blankets? Hallelujah. There ain't gonna be nobody over there saying, now wait a minute, that man shouting over there is out of order. I tell you what, if it makes people stay away from church now, they don't have to worry about it. They won't be there. One person said, when that person screams, said it just sends cold shivers up my spine. Brother Branham said, well, you'd freeze to death. Then he said, because it's going to be noisy no matter where you're at. He said, it's going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth in hell and shouting the praise of God in heaven. People passing by, seeing the great gift of God in Solomon working, they spread it one to another. Way down hundreds of miles through Palestine, a pagan queen, the queen of the south. Everybody coming through Palestine passed by her and say, oh, you should see what's going on up there. Wouldn't it be nice if people were that enthused about God's doings now? If people would get enthused about what God's doing and say, you need to come up here to church and see what God's doing. That ain't God sitting here performing miracles in front of people like a magic show. But I'm going to tell you something, friends. Your lives are not the same as they were 22 years ago. God has done a change in you. By what? His word. Because you were faithful in all ways, God has blessed you in your lives. Oh, I know we're none of us millionaires, but that ain't the blessings I'm talking about. And I'm going to tell you something, friends. God ain't through blessing. Tell you something, you hold on for your families. Don't you ever give up. Right. Hold on for your children. Don't you ever give up. Right. Get down desperate before God and say, God, do whatever it takes. And you got to mean what you're saying when you say that. Do whatever it takes. If it takes bringing them down to death's door, then God do it, but get them right. I would rather spend eternity with my children than to spend another day with them here on this earth and lose them in the end. Know what it feels like. I know it's discouraging when you don't see nothing going on. And they offer you either their excuses or their philosophies. It's a funny thing to me how people get the leadership to do this or that or whatever, and they never consider the man that God's placed there as a leader. They never go to the pastor and say, "Will you pray for me? I've been having this decision about, you know, moving from here and going somewhere else." I had a brother one time tell me, he said, "Brother, me and my wife, we're going to be moving from here, and we're going to go to this other place and go to this other church. Will you pray for us?" I said, "What for? You done made up your mind." If you'd asked me, pray whether this be the will of God or not, but you're telling me you're going to do this. Now you want me to pray for you? This is what I'm going to do. Pray God will bless me. "Bless me also, my father," Esau said. Talking about the Queen of the South, he said her little heart was determined to find out whether it was truth or not. She wanted to know for herself. So if you become that determined, you won't let anything else stand in your way, no matter what it is. You'll be determined to find out. You'll never look at the circumstances. And as this little lady with the little caravan of camels and a few guards, she was determined to find out. Are we determined this morning? Huh. There was a brother one time said to me, said it had been told to him that this brother from this other church had said thus and thus and thus about me. Boy, that hurt me. I thought surely that brother wouldn't have said that. So it just kind of kept getting to me, and I thought, well, I know this brother's pretty good. You know, I've stayed in his home before. I thought, I'm just going to call him. And so I called him up, and I asked him, "Brother, look, I got to ask you something. It's bothering me. It's been told to me you said such and such about me." He said, "Brother, I would never do that." He said, "Who told you that?" I said, "Well, it doesn't really matter." He said, "It probably come from my daddy. Brother, you know he can't sit under a pastor nowhere." Well, that was the end of that. Bible says, if you think that the brother's got aught against you, or you think he's offended by you, then go to him. Now don't go to him accusing, pointing your finger, trying to point out their faults. Because I'm going to tell you something. It comes down to let he who's without sin cast the first stone. And ain't one of us can throw a stone at the other one. So we need to stop all that stuff. Don't criticize one another. That's wrong. That's terrible. That spirit ain't going to make it to heaven. No matter what the opposition looks like, if you're determined to find out the truth, God will lead you and protect you to that thing. There's still a greater than Solomon here. He's still working today. And how's he doing it? Through his bride. And friends, we need to be right before God so that the Holy Spirit can use us to fulfill his word for this hour. We need to make sure we ain't holding no grudges. We need to make sure we ain't holding things one against the other. Clear up the air. Quit casting blame. Had a man one time tell me, I didn't have a father like you had to treat me the way your father treated you. Well, he didn't know my father from a barn door. But anyway, that was his excuse. And so I told him, I said, well, my dad didn't have a dad like I had either. Before his daddy came to the Lord, and all he did was drink. He'd get paid on Friday and see how much of it he could drink up before he got home. So I said, but my daddy was determined not to be that same kind of a daddy. My daddy was different because he wanted to be different. So don't give me that lame excuse. It ain't got nothing to do with your daddy. Bunch of psychology stuff. You can be what you want to be. It don't matter. Look, Brother Branham said that a baby could be born to the two of the meanest parents in the world. But it don't mean nothing about that child. That child can still be a child of God. It don't have to go the way of its parents. It has a choice. God gave it a choice. Put everybody on free moral agency. Everybody has a choice to make. Just because their daddy was a drunkard and a gambler don't mean they gotta be. Just because their daddy was hung, strung out on drugs, don't mean they gotta be. But it depends on what nature's in there. If they got that same nature, then I don't care what you try to do, you won't stop them from becoming that. Brother Branham said you could take a pig and pull him out of the pig pen and wash him up, shine him up real good, put a bow around his neck. But if you turn him loose, he'll head for the first mud hole he can find, because that's what he is, a pig. And he said, we weren't born pigs and became sheep. We always were sheep. He said, you weren't born a pig or a dog and then became a sheep. It's in church age book. He said, you were always sheep. If you are now, you always were. You just was a little mixed up. You wasn't in your right mind. You was like Legion. You needed to have somebody touch you and put you in your right mind. And the somebody you needed to touch you was Jesus Christ. You needed Jesus to touch you. I'm going to tell you something, friends. We're still casting out devils. We're still healing the sick. A greater than Solomon is still here. We're not looking for something, some other man to come. That's all been fulfilled. What's left to be fulfilled is our part. Our part is to get ready. Get ready. And I'm going to tell you something, friends. The final voice to the final age was not William Branham. The Bible says the final voice to the final age is the bride. That's right. It's in the book of Revelations. And the bride says, come. Let he who is thirsty come. The prophets already said, come. Now it's the bride's turn to say, come. Oh my. That's what we're doing. Friends, we're getting ready. Somewhere out there, there is a last one. I've said this before. We might not have the very last one here in Dixon, but there is going to be a last one in Dixon. It'll be the last one that ever comes in Dixon. And it's mine and your responsibility to try to catch that last one. How are we going to do it? Living the life everywhere you go. I heard Brother Branham say, I fear God, lest I'd make somebody stumble. He said, I fear the people, lest I'd make somebody stumble. In other words, live the life everywhere you go. Don't get out somewhere else and say, well, I'm just around a bunch of worldly people now. I can do what I want. Nobody won't know. There's an all-seeing eye watching you. Hallelujah. God knows. He knows what goes on. You don't need to confess your sin to me. You need to confess them to him. He's the high priest. Amen. But if you've committed aught against somebody, then you need to go confess to them. Hallelujah. God's using us now to fulfill his word. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this word today. We thank you, Lord, for this message. We thank you for coming down, Lord, and dealing with our hearts. I thank you for laying this message on my heart, for helping me, dear God. It's been on my heart for over a couple of weeks now, but you helped me, Lord, to glean from the message and from the scriptures, Lord, to put this message together that you laid on my heart. To deliver to the people, to be a help to them, dear God. Lord, that we would recognize the tactics of the enemy. Lord, how he tries to come against this work here in this church. Tries to come against the church. He's trying to come against the believers. Trying to make them stumble. Lord, help us. Lord, we're just human. We make mistakes. Sometimes we listen to things we shouldn't listen to. Lord, help us from now on, dear God, when somebody comes bringing some kind of criticism or something, that we'll just stop them right there. Say, let's stop. I don't even want to hear it. I believe, Lord, that's what it means by receive not an accusation. I just stop them right there in their tracks. Say, I don't even want to hear it. Lord Jesus, I pray you'll bless your people today, God. Hear from this assembly. Lord, I pray for Brother Leo, dear God, as we've been praying for him. Sister Doris, continue, Lord, to touch Brother Leo. Lord, we don't know what your will is, dear God, or what the future holds for him. Lord God, we'd like to hold on to him, Lord, while longer. Lord, it's in your hands. I pray, Lord, that you help him, Lord, and help Sister Doris, Lord. It's hard when your mate is down. Give her strength, Lord. We ask, Lord, for those that weren't able to be here this morning, for whatever the reasons may be, Lord, that you, God, would go to them, dear God, minister to them, dear God. When they hear this message later on, Lord, let it have the same resounding move of the Holy Spirit on them that it had in this service here. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the glory of God, amen. Before I turn the service over to Nate, I just wanted to say I want to encourage you, if you're going to fellowship, go on outside. Don't stay around that little foyer there, you know. Get outside in the outside air. And do you keep doing your fellowshipping out there the way you've been doing? Is that all right? Amen. God bless you.